Good morning and welcome to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. It's a beautiful day and it's so wonderful to be here in the sanctuary and starting this worship with you. We have some announcements. First of all, what I'd like to do is we have an extra special birthday celebration for Helen Davis, who will be 100 years old tomorrow. Helen is in the sanctuary with us today. Is it today? It's the 19th. I apologize. It's today, not tomorrow. So happy birthday, Helen. And
shall we sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helen. Happy birthday to you. And many more, Helen.
And Helen will be with us at fellowship time, so you'll have a chance to share your best wishes with her at that point. Okay. We have a few other announcements for today. Excuse me. Dina Barwick is leading a Bible study using the Serenity Prayer. It's on Tuesdays. It started last Tuesday, but of course you can join us. It is going to run through October 6th. It's from 2 to 3:30 in the Camellia Room. And if you're going to join us in person, please make sure that you bring a mask because you will be asked to wear that. Or you can join on Zoom. And the link for the Zoom is on the church website. So you can go there so that you can join in the comfort of your home. There's also another activity that is happening on Saturday. I'm going to make sure I don't get the date wrong. Okay, on September 27th, Grace Point is sponsoring a Rescue Sunday. It's a day of honoring and praying for children. More information can be found on that in on the website for the church and on the PowerPoint that you're seeing here. It will be commenced at 5:15 in their parking lot. They're looking for a variety of items that you can provide. Please let them be new items for children. And if you're in a situation where you would like to donate but will not be able to go on Saturday, you can bring them to the office, and Linda and or Deb will be responsible for making sure that those items get sent to Grace Point for this wonderful activity. Are there any other announcements? Okay, would you please join me in the call to worship? Praise be to the God who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over in our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And our first hymn for today is We've a Story to Tell to the Nations, number 569, verses 1 through 3.
A story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of mercy, a story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness has turned to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to the be sung to the nation that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nation, that the Lord who reigneth above has sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us the God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Please know that we want to know about your joys and concerns. You can email or call the office to give that message, and it will get out on the prayer chain. So I encourage all of you to take advantage of the prayer chain and sharing any joy or concern that you have. If you would now join me in the unison prayer. Dear gracious Lord Jesus, sometimes in life becomes hard, and our hearts are filled with sorrow and sadness. We do not understand why things happen as they do. By faith, we are sure of one thing, that you see us through in days of trials. You carry us in your arms in the days of pain. When we feel low, remind us that even when through the valley of death, and yet with prayer, power,
you rule over life's tempestuous waves.
Give us peace that transcends all human situation and understanding, for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue to join our hearts in prayer. We may be apart, but we are now united in our spirit and in our prayers. Let us remember those five victims, the hurricane victims, and so many victims from this whole situation under the pandemic. Lord Jesus, our desire is to travel on a quiet sea without any surge, without any storm. But, Lord, as we have seen it many times before, we often face unexpected storm on our journey. And we are sometimes crushed, sometimes are discouraged, sometimes we just lose courage to continue on. But, O Lord, while we are in pain, may we see the very reality that we are not alone. We are not traveling all by ourselves through the open sea. We have a wonderful and faithful companion traveling with us, protecting us, navigating for us, guiding us into a safe haven. And that is you, O Lord. You are our God. You are our Emmanuel. And we can always trust that you are there,
So, Lord, we ask you to help us open our eyes once more that we may see you in spite of all the troubles we see. Troubles in our personal lives, troubles in our community and the nation and the world today. So, Lord, we come to you knowing that you are there for us. You are with us. And we can open our hearts and pour our sorrows, our concerns unto you. And when we come to you, you always open your arms and welcome us into your bosom, that we may find peace and rest in you. So thank you for the comfort and peace that you always provide for us. The world may be in turmoil, O Lord, but we take refuge in you, and we find peace and comfort as we hide under your wing. So, Lord, come unto us, manifest your power, manifest your presence through your Holy Spirit, that we may receive what we need today, the assurance of your presence in our life, in the midst of pain and suffering. So, Lord, we come to you as we join our hearts in prayer and ask you to fill us with the joy of living. And we ask you to restore the joy of salvation, which we found when we first believe in you, that with that very joy we may continue on. Because you are in our life, and because we know that you have everything under your control, we lift up our prayers, our cares, our concerns for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our churches, for our communities, for our nation and the world unto you. And pray that you continue to fulfill your will in our lives. You continue to reign over our lives with power and might. So at this time, we join our hearts in prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we will have a moment with Deb for Young at Heart.
The Lupin lady lives in a small house overlooking the sea. In between the rocks around her house grow blue and purple and rose-colored flowers. The Lupin lady is little and old, but she has not always been that way. I know. She is my great aunt, and she told me so. Once upon a time, she was a little girl named Alice who lived in a city by the sea. From the front stoop, she could see the wharves and the bristling masts of tall ships. Many years ago, her grandfather had come to America on a large sailing ship. Now he worked in the shop at the bottom of the house, making figureheads for the prows of ships and carving Indians out of wood to put in front of cigar stores. For Alice's grandfather was an artist. He painted pictures, too, of sailing ships and places across the sea. When he was very busy, Alice helped him put in the skies. In the evening, Alice sat on her grandfather's knee and listened to his stories of faraway places. When he had finished, Alice would say, "When I grow up, I too will go to faraway places, and when I grow old, I too will live by the sea." "That is all very well, little Alice," said her grandfather, "but there is a third thing you must do." "What is that?" asked Alice. "You must do something to make the world more beautiful," said her grandfather. "All right," said Alice, but she did not know what that could be. In the meantime, Alice got up and washed her face and ate porridge for breakfast. She went to school and came home and did her homework, and pretty soon she was grown up. Then my great Aunt Alice set out to do the three things she had told her grandfather she was going to do. She left home and went to live in another city, far away from the sea and salt air. There she worked in a library, dusting books and keeping them from getting mixed up, and helping people find the ones they wanted. Some of the books told her about faraway places. People called her Miss Rumphius now. Sometimes she went to the conservatory in the middle of the park. When she stepped inside on a wintry day, the warm, moist air wrapped itself around her and the sweet smell of jasmine filled her nose. "This is almost like a tropical isle," said Miss Rumphius, "but not quite." So Miss Rumphius went to a real tropical island where people kept cockatoos and monkeys as pets. She walked on long beaches, picking up the beautiful shells. One day she met Baba Raja, king of a fishing village. "You must be tired," he said. "Come into my house and rest." So Miss Rumphius went in and met Baba Raja's wife. The Baba Raja himself fetched a green coconut and cut a slice off the top so that Miss Rumphius could drink the coconut water inside. Before she left, the Baba Raja gave her a beautiful mother-of-pearl shell on which he had painted a bird of paradise and the words, "You will always remain in my heart." "You will always remain in mine too," said Miss Rumphius. My great aunt, Miss Alice Rumphius, climbed tall mountains where the snow never melted. She went through jungles and across deserts. She saw lions playing and kangaroos jumping, and everywhere she made friends she would never forget. Finally, she came to the land of the lotus eaters, and there, getting off a camel, she hurt her back. "What a foolish thing to do," said Miss Rumphius. "Well, I have certainly seen faraway places. Maybe it is time to find my place by the sea." And it was, and she did. From the porch of her new house, Miss Rumphius watched the sun come up. She watched it cross the heavens and sparkle on the water, and she saw it set in the glory of the evening. She started a little garden among the rocks that surrounded her house, and she planted a few flower seeds in the stony ground. Miss Rumphius was almost perfectly happy. "But there is still one more thing I have to do," she said. "I have to do something to make the world more beautiful." "But what?" "The world is already pretty nice," she thought, looking out over the ocean. The next spring, Miss Rumphius was not very well. Her back was bothering her again, and she had to stay in bed most of the time. The flowers she had planted the summer before had come up and bloomed in spite of the stony ground. She could see them from her bedroom window, blue and purple and rose-colored. "Lupins," said Miss Rumphius with satisfaction. "I have always loved lupins the best. I wish I could plant more seeds this summer so that I could still have more flowers next year." But she was not able to. After a hard winter, spring came. Miss Rumphius was feeling much better. Now she could take walks again. One afternoon, she started to go up and over the hill, where she had not been in a very long time. "I don't believe my eyes," she cried when she got to the top. For there on the other side of the hill was a large patch of blue and purple and rose-colored lupins. "It was the wind," she said as she knelt in delight. "It was the wind that brought the seeds from my garden here, and the birds must have helped." Then Miss Rumphius had a wonderful idea. She hurried home and got out her seed catalogs. She sent off to the very best seed houses for 5 bushels of lupin seed. All that summer, Miss Rumphius, her pockets full of seeds, wandered over fields and headlands, sowing lupins. She scattered seeds along the highways and down the country lanes. She flung handfuls of them around the schoolhouse and back of the church. She tossed them into hollows and along stone walls. Her back didn't hurt her anymore at all. Now some people called her that crazy old lady. The next spring, there were lupins everywhere. Fields and hillsides were covered with blue and purple and rose-colored flowers. They bloomed along the highways and down the lanes. Bright patches lay around the schoolhouse and back of the church. Down in the hollows and along the stone walls grew beautiful flowers. Miss Rumphus had done the third, the most difficult thing of all. My great Aunt Alice, Miss Rumphius, is very old now. Her hair is very white. Every year there are more and more lupins. Now they call her the Lupin Lady. Sometimes my friends stand with me outside her gate, curious to see the old, old lady who planted the fields of lupins. When she invites us in, they come slowly. They think she is the oldest woman in the world. Often she tells us stories of faraway places. When I grow up, I tell her, I too will go to faraway places and come home to live by the sea. That is all very well, little Alice, says my aunt, but there is a third thing you must do. What is that? I ask. You must do something to make the world more beautiful. All right, I say. But I do not know yet what that can be. Young or old, we can all make the world a better place. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. I hope we can all go out and sow some seeds this week. Would you please join us now in singing the hymn, There's Within My Heart a Melody, number 380, and we'll be doing verses 1 through 3.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fill my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Jesus could fill my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken stream. Stir the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes it leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the pain seems rough and steep, see his footprint all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30, and it can be found on page 158 on the New Testament. I consider that sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in the order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also gloried. Thanks be to the word of God.
I send warm greeting to each and every one of you who is worshiping with us in your home, in your living room, or in your kitchen, wherever you are. We are glad that you have come to worship with us this morning. The winter had been especially difficult in the mountains of North Carolina. Heavy snowfall and cold temperatures had allowed the snow to accumulate to several feet at the higher elevations. The people who lived in the small mountain village located in a valley became concerned about an older couple who lived in an isolated cabin up on the mountainside. No one had seen either the husband or the wife for several weeks. Realizing that they were snowed in, the villagers would watch for smoke coming from the cabin chimney. One day, when smoke was no longer apparent, the people of the village decided to call in the Red Cross. A helicopter flew over the cabin, but no sign of life could be seen. Two Red Cross workers, equipped with medical supplies and food, parachuted into a clearing some distance from the cabin. The two young men made their way through the deep snow, clearing a path to the door of the cabin. One of them knocked. Momentarily, an old man appeared at the door. The young rescuer replied, "We are from the Red Cross." The old man looked at him and said, "Well, you know, it has been a right hard winter up here, and I just don't hardly see how we can give anything this year." The people watched the condition of the older couple and sent Red Cross workers, but the older couple did not expect anyone to give them aid. Doesn't this story tell how we face ordeal? Do we expect help when we are in need? Do we expect deliverance when we are in pain? Not necessarily. We may try to manage pain on our own and endure it instead of asking God to intervene. Let us look at Paul's personal situation when he wrote the letter to Christians in Rome. What was he referring to when he said, "The present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The first thing to note in Paul's word is that Paul used plural here for the word suffering. He said, the present sufferings. He had not just one, but multiple causes of pain. Paul wrote the epistle from the city of Corinth while he was on his third missionary itinerary around 57 AD. So Paul's present suffering would have had something to do with pains he experienced in Corinth. There are some references to his suffering on 2 Corinthians. In chapter 2, he said, I would not make another painful visit to you. Paul apparently underwent pain during his previous stay in Corinth, and he was apprehensive about it. I came, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. Paul kind of expected distress when he came to church. The following words specify his escalated pain. I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. What made him to be in great distress and anguish of heart, and he shed many tears? Other parts of Paul's letter to Corinthians shed light on so many problems he dealt with in Corinth, such as immorality, marriage and celibacy issue, the conduct of believers, the propriety of eating meat offered to idols, and the worthy reception of the communion, church families suing one another in public courts, and so on. Paul's suffering was certainly multiple like ours. You know, as many of you have experienced it, marriage could be a good example for this. They say that people would need 3 rings to marry somebody: an engagement ring, a wedding ring, and a suffering. Sometimes one misstep and one cause of suffering is subject to a chain reaction, which is what we see during this pandemic. Paul also saw that pain is universal and ubiquitous. Everyone suffers pain. Sufferings exist even in a place like church. Paul was greatly distressed by the troubles he saw in the church that he diligently worked at. The Apostle Paul explains this. The creation is subjected to frustration. All creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We don't have any trouble agreeing with Paul because our life has taught us enough of these facts of suffering. What we should note here is that Paul moves further from these aspects of suffering. Paul thinks that God is behind human pain. This may not be an easy doctrine to embrace, because we tend to think that God would not and should not allow pain in our life. However, Paul, as a matured Christian with a very deep understanding on Christian doctrine, makes a case that pain is not the absence of God. Pain is not the absence of God, but rather God is present in pain. In Paul's word, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. What was ground of his theology? Paul backs up his point of view on pain with the following. There is a hope of liberation and freedom from pain and glorious future. God allows pain so that God's creation may look up to God for salvation and liberation. We all suffer in this world, but should come to God for deliverance from pain. God does not leave us alone, but is involved in our pain so that we may find hope and that pain may lead us to a glorious future. I usually use the NIV Bible, and the NIV Bible for this particular part of Paul's word titled Present Suffering and Glorious Future, which I use it as a sermon title this morning. Present suffering and glorious future. Do they make sense to you? Pandemic has not been an easy time for us. The first several months of stay-at-home work, very stressful time for me to establish online worship. But from the very beginning, God had planted in my heart the messages of encouragement and hope. Our faith is all about hope, no matter how hopeless the world may seem. Paul says, in this hope we are saved. Sufferings are constant, but we always find hope in God. We have been very attentive about the developments of the whole pandemic situations. Everyone now waits for vaccines, which is so critical for normalization. We hear both encouraging and also not so promising reports. Whatever the report may say, our faith in God speaks to us that there is hope. We may suffer today, but God our present suffering and will deliver us and lead us into the glorious future. There are different levels of suffering. Some troubles are rather easy, while some others are more painful. What if the situation would get worse? What do we do when the present suffering would become so serious that it engulfs our bearing capacity? Could we still trust it in God? When pain is too extreme, we are so crushed and dispirited and cannot function. We may not feel God's presence in an extreme pain, for it numbs our hearts and our minds. Some of you may have experienced something like this. We are at a loss for words during a severe pain and do not know how to pray. A severe pain makes us question God's existence and love. If God loved me, he would not allow great pain in my life. Paul explains what happens when we are in such a pain. The Holy Spirit steps in when we become so weak. The Holy Spirit is our faithful companion for the journey. He knows our weakness and intercedes for us when we cannot endure pain. You know, I usually maintain my prayer routine, and a few of you may have seen that I usually come to the sanctuary to pray in the morning, and I pray at home in the morning and night as well. But when I'm burnt out or in great pain, it is hard to keep up with the routine. Sometimes pain makes me discouraged to pray. When life becomes so hard, it is time to remember that we are not alone. There is someone who knows our pain. Someone prays for us. That someone is the Holy Spirit. In so much pain, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit, with wordless groan, intercedes for us. Lastly, pain is not altogether useless. There are many benefits of suffering. Suffering could draw us closer to God as we seek God's help in trouble. Pain sometimes is used to rewrite our path to carry out what God intends in our life. An unexpected blockage on our path may frustrate us, but God may have designed it to be a turning point. Paul puts it this way: in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. All things that Paul mentioned here in pain, in all things, and God can use pain as well. Pain is a destructive component and could tear everything apart. But when God uses pain, it is resulted in something constructive. So expect to find God in pain. God works for us in our suffering. Patricia Leia shares the story in Christian Soup for the Soul. Two roommates in college, once out of money. The monthly allowance did not come 1 month to buy food, and they just had a dime to place a collect call to their parents at home. When he called home, his mom told him that his dad got ill and was out of work. His roommate's parents could not raise extra to send him either. They were devastated. They just had 1 month to finish the year. When they hung up the phone, they heard a noise and dimes were started falling out of the payphone. Being honest, they called the phone company and told them what happened. The operator said that the money did not belong to them and they should put the money back. When they tried, the dimes kept falling back out. After talking to a supervisor, she said that they should keep the money because they were not going to send someone all the way out to collect few dollars. They had now $7.20. They went to the groceries and told the manager what happened as they paid their purchase with dimes. The manager, hearing the story, offered the job to both of them from next day. They were both able to finish the college by working for the manager. His roommate became a lawyer, and he became a businessman who owns multi-million-dollar business. As he recollected it, he said it was either the operator who prevented the machine to take coins or an act of God. I mean, it's our natural tendency that during the pain, during the time of need, we do not expect God to intervene. It is not easy to see God in times of trouble. It is our natural tendency that our eyes are fastened to pain and we cannot see anything else beyond pain. But as Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, God never failed to show up when he is least expected in pain. God is present in pain. God uses pain to bring something good. And because of his involvement in our life, he will lead us into the glorious future. Amen.
Temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power upleaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. We are so thankful for your unconditional love. We are so thankful for countless blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for your sustaining grace. And out of the blessings we have received from you, O Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you. We ask you to bless our offerings, our commitment to do your will in our life through the ministries and programs in this church. So bless our offering that it may be used to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please join in our final hymn from today, Because He Lives, number 364.
Way to victory, I'll see the light.
light of glory, and I'll know He reigns because He lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Let us pray. Yes, Lord, we know You live. You are in our life. Through life's and ebb and flow, You are there. In spite of all the suffering and pain we see, Your footsteps are everywhere upon our journey. So, Lord, we know that You are working in our lives. Even when we see a lot of pain and suffering, and You will lead us into the glorious future. So we entrusted all our cares, all our fears, all our worries into Your hand. Lead us on, O Lord Jesus, into that glorious future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know He will guide you. In love and sure you believe, reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there watching from